بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة وسلم. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الله لا يحب المفسدين. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: ولا تلعن أحد من خلق الله. وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين وشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected listeners, Alhamdulillah, we are now on lesson number 86, discussing the wisdoms of actions, and we are talking about the part 2 of Etikaf. In part 1 of Etikaf, the secrets of Etikaf, I discussed that there are 3 types of people making Etikaf. The first type, they are those who themselves realize the benefits of Etikaf from the outset. The second type, they are those who have learned the benefits of Etikaf from Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the third type are those common Muslims who are forced to observe Etikaf by the dictates of the Sharia. In this lesson, we talk about the benefits of Etikaf. Shawliullah Delvi Rahmatullah Alayh has highlighted 2 benefits of Etikaf. He says, firstly, the person observing Etikaf is safeguarded against verbal sins. What does this mean? It often happens that a fasting person abstains from food, drink, and intercourse, but allows his tongue to indulge in various sins. The cure for this is Etikaf, because the person in Etikaf does not intermingle with people, and thus is saved from vain and sinful talk. In a hadith in Ibn Majah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that the person, because he is in the masjid observing Etikaf, is safeguarded from sin. So actually, this first benefit is derived from this hadith that Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the person observing Etikaf is safeguarded from sin. Why? Because that person is in a different environment. That person is in an environment of good, and that person supposed to be secluded, supposed to be in solitude. Why? Here again, this benefit strengthens what we are saying, that when there is too many people in Etikaf, and especially when they begin to befriend each other and they turn that Etikaf into a party, then the benefits and the objectives and the purpose of Etikaf is utterly totally defeated, as we see these days. Because the person in i'tikaf, when he is in the masjid and he is secluded, then he is safeguarded from verbal sins. Because remember, the common factor of the person in i'tikaf and the person not in i'tikaf is both of them will have to fast. Because this i'tikaf, sunnat al-muqaddah ala al-kifaya, is when in the month of Ramadan. So fasting is a precondition for this i'tikaf. And also, the common factor is the person in i'tikaf and the person not in i'tikaf, both of them, they do not eat, do not drink, and do not engage in sexual intercourse. But the difference is that the person not in i'tikaf and the person is intermingling with people outside the masjid. Because the general masses, the common people, and those that are not in i'tikaf, they carry on with their lives, meaning they carry on with their normal lives, meaning that they are meeting people, talking to people, intermingling of gender is taking place, intermingling of people is taking place, they are talking and meeting in meetings, in discourses, in mashwara, in board meetings, over the telephone they are talking at length to clients. So there is customer-client relationship, there is employer-employee relationship, there is boss-worker relationship, there is teacher-student relationship, there is all that is going on. But the person is fasting. But in the masjid, that person is supposed to be secluded. That person is supposed to be in solitude. That person is supposed to be alone. And as a result, he now is focused on his creator. He's got time to contemplate. He's got time to deliberate that what Allah Ta'ala has created before. Where am I going? Where am I supposed to go? What am I doing? What I am supposed to be doing? And what is the purpose of life? What is the purpose of the animal kingdom? What is the purpose of human kind? So all that must be going in his mind. But if you create the environment that is outside the masjid, and you bring a similar environment inside the masjid, then you are going to defeat the purpose of i'tikaf, and you are going to defeat the concept of solitude, and you are going to defeat the purpose of that person being allowed and given space to interact closely in close proximity to Allah Azza wa Jal. That is why you will find, and the example is very crude, but it is a reality, that a person in his entire life has not gone out in the Tabligh Jamaat, but all of a sudden he decides that he's going out for 24 hours or he's going out for 3 days. And because he leaves his house, family, firm and factory, he goes out for 3 days, stays in the masjid and the masjid environment. Then within 3 days, there is like a revolutionary change in a person. There is a renaissance in a person. There is a spiritual dramatic change in a person. How that happened? Because this person was, during that 24 hours or during that 72 hours, was for many hours alone in the masjid, contemplating, was in solitude in the masjid, deliberating, was left alone to think about his present, his future and past. So, because when he was in the masjid, the Amir told him that make the niyat intention of i'tikaf, and thus he changed his environment, his intention and life. But here a person sits 10 days for i'tikaf, but nothing happens to him. Whilst he is there, because he's engaged in spiritual discourses and listening to some lectures, then alhamdulillah, there is a lot of spiritual benefit, but for that moment alone, for that duration alone, for that period alone. Once that person comes out, then unfortunately, he does not change. Similarly, that when a person is not in i'tikaf, then because that person is intermingling with people, interacting with people, then there is very great opportunity, because the place is there, the time is there, and the moments to create backbiting, slander, lying, deceiving, anger to be displayed, and a person speaks and does not fulfill his promises and pledges. All those opportunities are more for a person who is outside i'tikaf, because he's interacting with people, phoning them, talking to them, having meetings, discussion, and buying and selling, all that is going on. So there are numerous occasions and moments and opportunities for lying and slandering, backbiting, and to display jealousy and hatred and malice. But when a person now is in solitude, when a person is alone, and when a person is in the masjid, and is involved in ibadat most of the time, and if he's not involved in ibadat, then he is sleeping. And when he is sleeping, he is not involved in any sin. And that person, because he is in a good environment and he is in the masjid, then inshallah he will not backbite. He will not sin. He will not transgress. He will not go and do the wrong thing. He will not slander. He will not speak ill of people. He will not swear and become vulgar. He will not get angry. He will not deceive. He will not be involved in active buying and selling. And now, the opportunities for sinning are not there in the masjid. Even if a person generally is of a rough character, and if he's robust in nature, but because he's in the confines of the masjid, then he himself, even if something upsets him, then he will keep quiet. And he will know that, listen, I cannot be vulgar, I'm in the masjid. I cannot swear, I'm in the masjid. I cannot shout like how I shout in the bazaar, I'm in the masjid. I cannot scream and shout and swear and become vulgar, I'm in the masjid, not in the bazaar. I cannot backbite, I'm in the masjid, I'm not in the bazaar. I cannot do those things in the masjid because I'm not in the bazaar. And then the person is there for 10 entire whole days, not for just one small period of time. He is there for a lengthy duration. This will help him to control. This will help him to become disciplined and governed. And also that a person outside the parameters of i'tikaf in the masjid, then whilst he is fasting from Subah Sadiq to sunset, then that person may be in control. And alhamdulillah, most of the time the people who fast, they are in control. And they behave fairly well. And alhamdulillah, they abstain from jealousy and malice and hatred. They abstain from backbiting, slander, swearing and vulgarity. They abstain from all these verbal sins and transgressions and disobedience. But no sooner they open their fast, then unfortunately, because they are so habituated in swearing and backbiting and slandering and gossiping, then they go back. Within that 24-hour period, they, with their friends, before Salat, after Salat, before Taraweeh, after Taraweeh, they go to restaurants, they have brides, and they get together, they have parties, all outside the masjid. But the worst thing is that they begin to verbally commit sins. And there are others who physically go and commit sins. Because, unfortunately, the sin of going to the cinema, the sin of going to gambling dens and casinos is in the blood to such an extent that nowadays you find a very strange scenario that people who are steeped and immersed in gambling, they want the casino to provide halal food. And people who are steeped in this gambling in the evenings and the nights and womanizing and doing the last sin, they want Jamaat Khana, Salat, Musalla facilities, because they are still regular in Salah. Strange this is, but this is how Shaitan misleads man. This is how Shaitan misleads the Muslim. So outside, the perimeters of the masjid cannot be compared to inside the masjid, provided the person who is making the i'tikaf does it in a proper, valid, shari-compliant manner. Then he will get the benefits. That is why, another reason why we say that the purpose of i'tikaf is solitude and loneliness, so that a person, the more alone he is in i'tikaf, then he will be able to draw from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And i'tikaf is sunnah and muqida ala al-kifaya, meaning that if in a locality, if in a zone, that if there is a masjid there, and one person from that extension, only one person sits for i'tikaf, then that whole locality, that whole zone, that whole extension is absolved. And the responsibility of i'tikaf is removed from the shoulders of everyone because of one person performing and engaging in i'tikaf. Now, that it does not mean that the whole locality must go and sit in i'tikaf. No. Why? Because it is sunnat muakkada ala al-kifaya. And this ala al-kifaya is allowing the Muslims to behave normally and get on with their lives, and one, two people of the locality go and make i'tikaf, and alhamdulillah, because they will conform to the solitude concept and the concept of being alone and deliberate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person will definitely be able to get the benefit. I remember on one radio station the question was posed that, Mufti sahab, that in one masjid there are 100 people sitting, and in one masjid there are few brothers sitting, 4 or 5, where must I go and sit? We said, go and sit in that locality where 4 or 5 are sitting. there is greater benefit there. Why? Because the underlying pinning principle and objective of etikaf is solitude, not that you create such an environment of talking, discussing, deliberating amongst yourselves. Solitude is destroyed. Time for deliberation and focusing upon your inner self is being done away with, and unfortunately you are not given the ability to abstain from verbal sin. So we should be very careful about this. The second benefit of etikaf, the opportunity to search for the night of Qadr. Because the night of Qadr is found mostly during the last 10 nights of Ramadan, the person in etikaf has the perfect opportunity to benefit from this night and to join the ranks of Malaika, since he is engaged in ibadat all the time. Even, in fact, if he is sleeping, it is regarded as ibadat. The next part of the hadith stated above mentions that the person in etikaf enjoys the reward of all good deeds carried out by the people not in etikaf. Inshallah, when we discuss about night of Qadr, then we will discuss in detail. Here, we should understand that a person, in fact, when he makes niyat of going into etikaf, then he should make niyat that, Ya Allah, grant me the opportunity to witness and to experience the night of Qadr, the night of Taqdeer. Because we do know the night of Qadr is found mostly during the last 10 nights of Ramadan. This is stated why? Because many scholars are there. For example, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi states that the night of Qadr can be outside of Ramadan. But the most preferred opinion is that the night of Qadr is all the nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. That means the 21st, the 23rd, the 25th, the 27th, and the 29th night. Now the possibility of Laylatul Qadr exists here. And here there are a few things to be noted. One is that we, let alone us, even now in the Haramain, Sharifain, that the Arabs even, they have pegged the 27th night as the night of Qadr, and they put so much of emphasis on the 27th that the streets of Makkah and Medina are jam-packed, and the other nights are not given as much as preference and importance like the 27th night. And this is not a correct concept. This is going to lead to difficulties in the near future. However, the 27th night is a good possibility. On one radio station, Radio Al Ansar, and now I think they have brought it onto my website, alislam.co.za, I have explained over 40 reasons why Laylatul Qadr can be on the 27th night. But after giving 40 reasons, I stated that still this is hypothetical and it is possible, it is probable that the night of Qadr can be on the 27th. It is not definite. Why? Because the beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated clearly that it can be on the 21st, 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, 29th. Now when he, As-Sadiq al-Amin, the truthful, trustworthy one, has said that, then we got no option but to leave it open-ended on the odd nights. If he pegged it, then we will peg it. But when he has left it open-ended, we are forced to leave it open-ended. That is why that we as Muslims should do minimum. And what is that? If we cannot do due to health reasons, due to any other reasons, or due to sheer laziness, then at least we should follow the hadith of Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala, who recorded in Tirmidhi, that if a person makes his Isha Salat with Jamaat, then he is like one who has stood half the night in Salat. And if a person makes his Fajr Salat with Jamaat, it is as if to say he has stood the other half in Salat with Jamaat. So, let alone in Ramadan, for every night we should do this. Fajr with Jamaat, Isha with Jamaat. Isha with Jamaat, Fajr with Jamaat. We will get rewarded for standing the entire night in Salat. The Shariat is very simple. The Deen is very easy. Now, when a person, he has the opportunity of staying in the masjid whilst in i'tikaf, even if he's sleeping, then he will get the Laylatul Qadr whether he likes it or whether he does not like it. It is like a person that when he goes to Arafat on the 9th of Zil Hajj after Zawal, and whether he is there awoke or sleeping, standing or sitting, lying down, conscious or unconscious, for a moment, he will become a Haji, he will fulfill the second Rukun of Hajj. Similarly, a person now in the masjid, because he's in that good environment, then inshallah he will be able to be rewarded that he experiences Laylatul Qadr. And that is a great reward. The hadith talks about the person who is in i'tikaf, he'll get the rewards of good deeds carried out by the people not in i'tikaf. Now the person, for example, who is not in i'tikaf, he can visit the sick, he can help the needy, the wayfarer, he can do good actions, and also he can attend the burial of a person, give ghusl to the deceased, he can physically aid people who are in distress and in trouble. Now all these actions, for example, he cannot even give azan. Now, because azan is given outside the masjid, so this person, he will be rewarded for all these actions which those people outside i'tikaf are getting rewarded for. And this person, because he's in i'tikaf, he's under the constraints of i'tikaf, then this person will get rewarded for it. How merciful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning the benefit of i'tikaf? We understand. What do we understand? Number one, that the one in i'tikaf is safeguarded from verbal sin. Number two, the one in i'tikaf is saved from vain talk. Number three, the one in i'tikaf is protected from sinful speech. Number four, the one in i'tikaf can seek the night of Qadr. Number five, the one in i'tikaf has got the opportunity to join the ranks of Malaika. Number six, has got the opportunity for secluded ibadat. Number seven, the one in i'tikaf is rewarded for good acts which due to i'tikaf are not done. Number eight, the one in i'tikaf is free from the temptations of the world. Number nine, the one in i'tikaf has controlled desires and intellect. And tenthly, the most important reason, the one in i'tikaf is doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, when we come back, we will do lesson 87 next lesson, and that will be concerning the secrets of Hajj. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.